Now that genuinely frigid weather has descended upon us, I'm spending a lot of time feeding chickadees. On the worst days, two flocks spend almost all their time in my backyard. Chickadees are social, but do like their personal space, so they don't roost too close to one another. When they're not feeding, the individual birds hide out, a couple in my lilac bushes, several in various spruce trees. One chickadee spent a little time seeking shelter from the raging northwest wind at the base of my office window, hunkered down, eyes closed. But that window has suet, peanut, and Niger seed feeders affixed with suction cups, and the nearness of siskins, goldfinches, red-breasted nuthatches, and other chickadees was too stressful, so he found another hiding place. Because they spend so much time in my yard, the moment I crack open my window, in they zoom. During milder periods, I wait for a chickadee to fly in to my box elder tree or into one of my window feeders to stare at me. If no chickadees are right there and I crank open the window and whistle, it can take several minutes before one appears. But on these achingly cold days, they seem to be right here all the time. With the fierce winds of December 23rd, the tiny birds had a little trouble controlling their flight. But despite the temperature, part of the day in double digits below zero, the chickadees maintained their strict social hierarchy. Each chickadee flock has a strict pecking order, not enforced by pecking, but simply by chickadee conformism. When one chickadee alights on my hand and a higher-up appears, the one in my hand flits off and waits its turn, never grabbing a mealworm, even though they're right there. In the brutal weather, when I feel a bit more impatient to pull my hand back inside and close the window, I notice chickadee hesitation more than normal. Most of the chickadees fly right in and sit comfortably, rummage through the mealworms for the biggest-looking one, and fly off. A couple actually mouth the first mealworm to squish it a bit, and then grab a second as well. There are a few that are more hesitant. They seem to distrust me, even as they see that everyone else is getting delicious warm morsels from my hand, and so they alight more tentatively, often retreating to the trees once or twice before finally snatching a mealworm and beating a hasty retreat. Some of these more timid birds hold high positions on the chickadee hierarchy, and when it's one of their turns, the other chickadees sometimes end up having to wait several minutes before the tentative bird finally grabs a mealworm and runs. Interestingly, one of the chickadees who most readily associates me with food and is usually the one who lights on a window feeder, looks in, and taps on the glass to get my attention, refuses to light on my hand. Something about the feel of human flesh touching his or her tiny toes squicks him out. And the few times this bird has alighted right on me, it's taken off instantly in a panic. It's not that it's afraid of me. It will come right up to my hand as long as it can keep its feet safely on a branch. And if it perches close enough, I can move my hand right up to it and it will deliberately rummage through the mealworms to pick the best one. It just does not like sitting on my finger or hand. I don't care to teach it. It seems to me that the inhibitions of wild birds are valuable and worthy of our respect. So I just have to reach a little farther when that chickadee appears. There's an old legend that says that at midnight on Christmas Eve, there's a magical moment when we can speak to animals. Unfortunately, at midnight, the chickadees will all be safely tucked into their own little tree cavities, unavailable for conversation. Lucky for me that so many fly up and look into my eyes throughout the day. I don't know what they'd say if they could talk, whether they'd be little angel birds reminding us on this night of nights that we're supposed to be engaging in peace on earth and goodwill toward all our fellow human beings, whether they'd be pleading with us to take better care of this planet that we share, or whether they'd offer a simple friendly howdy. But whatever they're thinking, having these delightful birds in my life infuses me with equal measures of good cheer and commitment, and a wider circle of concern as I say, God bless us, everyone. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.